Praise God. We want to look at the signs of Christ coming. We looked at John the Baptist's ministry. What was John? John was the forerunner of Christ last week. We talked about the fact that John is coming along. God had a ministry, and we looked at what his ministry was. He's announcing the forerunner of the Messiah is coming. Well, and we talked about this as the fact, because looked over at the areas of with Kenneth Hagin's ministry, what's God's doing? God's doing something. Now, he did it in a little bit different way, but we need to understand there's an announcement. God is doing something. In other words, God is moving in a way. We must find out. I want you to understand this. The majority of the people in Jesus' day understood nothing about John the Baptist's ministry. We think that everybody does. We have it written in a book. We know all about it ahead of time. They didn't. We got to understand this. They didn't know about the people. We don't even have the fact that when Zechariah came out of the temple when the angel spoke to him, which we're going to read today, he doesn't say he told the people even what happened to him. We know about it from having it in the book. You see, one of the things, we have a low level of faith today because we have the idea if God's going to do that, he's just going to show it everywhere. Now, I want you to think, he didn't even with the coming, when the Messiah came, he didn't even do that. He went down to talk to Mary and Joseph. We don't know if they went around other than Mary went to Elizabeth and told her about it. We don't know that they talked about it and probably didn't. I mean, you didn't run around and blab that you weren't married and having a kid. Joseph, you aren't a guy that goes and marries a woman that has gotten pregnant and you were betrothed to it and yet ain't your kid. The stigma of that nation at that time is phenomenal. See, we sit and look like all this was in the open. No, it wasn't. Yet God expected the people to know the Messiah. And we found out there was people who did. We have the same problem today. People are not seeking God. They're seeking ministers to find out everything that's going on and what happened. And people don't know. If you sought the ministers of their day, they didn't know. They didn't know. See, we need to... We've got a lot wrong. You know, things are taught about the Bible, but we have the idea that everything was out in the open and people all knew this and knew it. They didn't. People must always seek God. They must always look. They've always had to from the beginning. Seek and you'll find. Knock, it'll be open unto you. That ain't changed. It always was and always is. There are people who seek God and find out His will and plan for the future and what is going on at the time, and there's people that don't. When things were announced, when John came out and his ministry is announced and he's out here, do the leaders of the ministry of Israel, do they follow it? No. They don't know what God's doing. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of ministers don't know at all what God's doing today. They're emphasizing what they always did to get what they wanted. See, God blessed them, and He did. But they think, well, you just keep doing this and keep doing this and we'll just keep getting blessed. I'm going to tell you what's going to run out. And they're going to wonder what on earth's going on. They've heard all the stories and they've heard all the stuff. People have heard it. And it ain't working. What's going on? What's the matter? And they can't get an answer from the man because the man don't know. See, it isn't enough for ministers need to teach the people. God wants to move through them and God wants to work through them and God wants to do things in them. No, you come and follow me, and I'll take care of it all for you. Just send me the checks, you know? And I'll wave the wand, and I'll tell you everything's wonderful and everything's good. Just keep the money rolling. Hallelujah. We're going to do wonderful things. No, it's not. You seek God, because this is what we want to look at today, is want to look at, because we're going to look, God sends John the Baptist, and we want to look at this fact concerning his parents. We want to look at these people, in other words, who God's going to use. What is going on here? What's happening? Whom God comes and visits. Who does He visit? Who is God going to carry out His plan through? Well, we have here in Luke, the first chapter, we're going to go to there today. We're going to start at verse 5. We're going to look, and it says, verse 5 says this, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, it says, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, this is important, these names. Aaron was the brother of Moses, who God had set aside and told him and his heritage or his family was going to be the ones who were that were going to hold the priesthood. Now, Abijah was the son of Aaron. And he was, in fact, when Aaron went, he took over as a high priest when Aaron passed. So, but we need to understand. So both of these persons' lineages go back to the priesthood. In other words, these ones standing in the priesthood, they're operating in the priesthood, the man. So we have a man in the priesthood. He's also followed the law. He has married in the priesthood. So that was one of the things of under the law to do. The priests weren't supposed to marry women outside of the lineage of priesthood. They weren't supposed to. So in other words, they're following the law. They're following what God said. They're walking in it. So in other words, they're fulfilling the word of God. These are important things. God's not going to, you don't want to find, just like with Joseph and Mary, I know this, from their standpoint, they had to be walking and following the law. The two of them had to be doing that, or God would have never sent Jesus through them, because they have to raise him according to the law. Jesus had to be raised according to the law to fulfill the law, or he would not have fulfilled the law. He had to be taught to do it. So he had to have parents. Here again, John the Baptist, he can't come out, you know, God has a plan in what he's doing. So God, there's people that God is looking at to do things. Now you need to understand this. This is the same with you. You and I. We need to understand this today. We're far from this. We don't get it in the church. The church is some place out here in outer space somewhere, some alien flying around, acting like they know what's going on. In other words, we need to understand our next generation is going to turn out the way we raise them.
Amen. Preach. Amen.
And you don't like the way it's turning out? Go look in the mirror and point the finger at the people who raised them. Now, I'm just telling you this. This is important. Because of this, in other words, if you wanted out, God wanted an outcome, he looked for certain types of people. He couldn't just pick anybody. Mm-hmm. What is interesting about it is because he doesn't pick people that are at the top of anything. Here's another thing he does. You need to understand this. See, I see people this all the time. They have an expectation that, you know, God will do mighty things through so-and-so. Yet we constantly have in the Bible God doing things through people that ain't so big. All they do is follow God. You should have an expectation that God would do something marvelous to you. These people had no indication that God's going to do anything marvelous through them. In fact, they might seem a little bit on the bottom of the barrel for some, because we go on the story here. Because as we look at this, because it says concerning them out of this, verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. In other words, they're following the law like the word of God says. In other words, their covenant, they are following it and walking in it. God considers them blameless. You know, you need this. You know, if you're walking in the light you had, you're blameless before God.
Amen.
But here, one of the things that the Lord dealt with me years ago, in the fact, He was, because when I was a young Christian, you know, I could get very critical of myself. Because I kept getting the measuring stick of Jesus and trying to measure me to Jesus. And it wasn't working. All it led was to condemnation. And that's what people do. No, the only thing the Lord ever expected of me is walk in the light that I had.
Amen.
You know, you want wonderful things to happen in your life? I'll tell you what, I've watched this over the years. As growing up as a Christian, I could get God to do a lot of things for me, of people who knew a lot more than me. But I could get God to do things. And I'll tell you why. It's a simple thing. I walked in the light I had and they didn't.
Amen. Amen.
They might see, whatever light you have, you got to walk in.
Amen.
I see this all the time with people. They don't have much light, but God blesses them. They walk in that light that they have, or what they know they walk in. And God blesses them in it. And you have somebody over here, and they almost get disgruntled. Why God do that for them? Why don't you start walking in the light you have?
Amen.
See, you want to be a baby, but you can't. You know more.
Amen.
Get up and walk in it.
Hallelujah.
And you'll get blessed. Walk in the light that you have. Naturally in life, we expect that. We don't expect an 18-year-old kid to act like, well, today we do, act like a 2-year-old. My God, the parents do. Anyhow, but, you know, we used to. When I grew up, my parents expected us. You know, I was the youngest in the family of the brothers. When I was just a little guy, they didn't expect of me what my older brothers could do. You know, I always wanted to try to do what they did, but it didn't work out. But they didn't expect that. Wow, they had good sense. But you know what? My parents blessed me like the rest of the family because I walked in what I could. And as I got older, you know, if I didn't walk in what I could, they would notify me often. We shouldn't expect much of people today. People don't walk in the light. They want the blessing. Amen. Not walking in the light. So I want you to get this. These people are following what they know to do. They're following what they know to do going along. Now here, now I want you to read this because it says, these people were righteous before God. And then it says this, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving the priest, as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now this is interesting. Now what they have, the priesthood at that time, what they did is they actually had, I think they said there were something like 48 divisions of what it was. But anyhow, every year, each priest, like with his fell to burn incense, would be, he would come and minister for a week, and then he would do it again some other time in the year, would come again his time to come in to do that. So he had that. All the different priests and that stuff came and did this. They weren't there all the time or doing it. You know, you had somebody who was a high priest, which was different, but the other priests who came and burned the incense and did the things of the altars, they didn't do that all the time. It wasn't a constant. They weren't constantly there. Because they made livings also in their families. If you follow the law, there were certain cities that were given to the priests to live in, and they had property was given to there. Most of the time, they raised crops and did things like farming, like most people did in those days, and that kind of stuff. They had to do those things too. They did those. They were blessed from the tithes and that kind of stuff, but they had livelihoods. They had things they could do. Be blessed. So, hallelujah. But see, they only had, they weren't like full-time in the ministry. They wouldn't be like full-time all the time in the ministry. They didn't sit around for the, for 50 weeks a year and not do anything. If they worked for God the whole time, God would take care of them. But that wasn't their job to do. So, but they were held in high respect to the people, and they were blessed through it. And, you know, people do bless them because of that. And they walked in it. But so this is what he's doing, what he does. He's burning incense. The incense altar, in fact, we did a little teaching on that in the book of Revelation, because it talks in heaven, there's an incense altar before the throne of God. And that incense was a type of the prayers that go up before God. That's what that incense was. So that was a representation concerning that. As before God, there's incense. What this priest would do, he would go out to the altar and he would take coals from the altar that were burning where they had sacrifices. They would take that in, put it on the incense altar, which was probably about so big, lay it on there and then put incense on it. Let the incense burn and rise up. That's what he did. And all those things had, we could go through all the things, but we want to know this. In the book of Revelation talks about it. That incense altar set right in front of the curtain where behind the holies of the holies was. Now, see, we don't have that anymore. We don't need that because men can go right to God. And so in heaven, the incense altar sits right before the throne. There's an incense altar. See, the things that they had, the types and shadow, was when the earth came from the things that really exist in heaven. John went up there and he saw them. Those things were there. And there's a representation of what those things are, the prayer of the saints. It talks about they went and took coals from that altar, the incense altar, put it in the vial with the prayers of the saints and threw it into the earth. In other words, the judgments that fell on the earth came from the prayers of the saints. The saints were called in for the judgment on the earth and God's throwing it out. God's doing it according to the prayers of the saints. God's pouring judgment out on the Antichrist kingdom according to the prayers of the saints. See, we don't identify with Jesus. We don't. We have this thing where there's this separation between us and Jesus. You know, it's like, well, God and them, they're doing this, but us. We're the body of Christ. God don't do anything without the body.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you go meditate on that a while. It'll get to you. Hallelujah. Do you good. It says, when the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, it says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. It says, and the angel of the Lord said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Remember we talked about that last year? Well, here the angel told him, he's going to go before you in the spirit and power of Elijah. He's Elijah to come. Angel says it, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And I want to talk about this because, see, God has a plan here. What we need to understand is God's plan. I want to, and the Lord reminded me, I have some scriptures here that I want to read to you because this is important. Because of us, if this stuff doesn't identify to us how God works, what good is it? It's nice stories, and God just picks people out, you know, at random. But we need to understand this thing. You know, why God chose what he did. You know, we go back to the book of Genesis. We're going to have this man and woman's offspring. This man and woman's offspring is going to be somebody that God's going to use. They're given someone with a special ministry. They're given to take care of as a child. Now, let's say she's barren. She's been barren. They're up in years. It says they're well up in years. Don't see they're getting up there in years. It said they're well up in years. In other words, they're probably outside that area, just like Abraham was with Sarah. You know, old people having, hey, we're old, you know. You know, we're up here. I'm 100 and she's 90. Man, this is going to be something. Glory to God. But anyhow, when he said she's barren, today, we need to understand, it's under the law, and see, we don't today. We walk on a lower level of faith today than even they understood back there. If a woman was barren, she was under a curse. That's the curse of the law. To be barren is to be cursed. We don't deal with stuff like that sickness of disease is being cursed. Today, we say, oh, poor thing. Christians ought to get mad they get sick.
Amen.
That's the curse. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. See, she was redeemed from that. You know, if she wasn't redeemed from it, she's praying for God. That you don't understand the pressure that people lived on. See, they believed the law was true. They believed it was really a curse. So you know what? People look at a woman can't have a child. There's a curse on her. Wonder what happened. Wonder what she did. Wonder what's going on there. That's why it's curse. Oh man, you do that today in the church and dear Lord, they'll hate you immediately and all that kind of stuff. But see, people all right sit around there and wonder why that person always goes through this or goes through that. People think about that. But see, the person many times walking along doesn't, hey, this curse don't belong to me. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. This ain't supposed to be going on. And people talk about staying, oh, I'm standing in faith. Well, if you don't believe what's happening is really bad, your faith ain't really good. Anything that comes that's listed under the curse, you don't want on you because God listed it as a curse. God did that. Man didn't do that. God said it's a curse. Poverty is a curse. It's not a blessing. People who can't make their way in life are under a curse. And it ain't supposed to be. Now, the world, they're going to live under the curse. But the Christian's not supposed to live under this curse. This woman's living under the law, and it's a curse. And she has been living under, there's a weight hanging on her all these years. She's a married woman and can't produce a child. She lives among people, and people that can't have kids. You know what I'm going, you know, she's probably walking around in a community, and the Romans there, and the Romans have their prostitutes and stuff, and the prostitutes are pumping out babies, and she can't have one. Well, you can imagine what it is living like that, having this going on. I see people do that today. They watch the wicked prosper and do things, and they sit around, well, I don't understand. I believe God, I don't guess his blessings for everybody. And that's because people don't realize the devil will come and lay the curse on you if you'll take it. He'll let you have it, and you'll take it. Well, this is just the way. This is my lot in life. This is just the way things are. This is just like this. It's like that. It's a curse. And this woman, I can imagine the weight that she's living under. You know, she has a good husband. He's staying with her. He's doing what's right. But, you know, they're looking at her. What's wrong with her? What's wrong with this? Well, on top of this, this is who God comes and visits. God comes and visits them. We'll talk about it, but I want you to see this. Why did God move and do what he did? There's back into Genesis. I've often thought about these scriptures back here. In Genesis, the 18th chapter, concerning why God does. You know, because we have Abraham's a guy that has a wife, can't have kids. Now, he's not told about the curse of the law. That the law hasn't been given at that time. But they know this, even from back in that time period, it's not good that your wife can't produce children. One of the big things is having offspring. See, one of the things, I'm going to tell you, if Jesus don't come back in 100 years, America won't exist as a nation. It'll happen just like with Rome. We'll have to have everybody come in and take care of us because we don't produce children, we just kill them. But we, even the Christians don't produce kids. We don't consider children a blessing. They cost too much money. They are there. They have all these things that people think today. You go in the church, the faith people. I've heard faith people say things and minister sometimes. Man, I think God hit them with a bolt of lightning. They don't want them to hear people hearing the stuff's coming out of their mouth. Well, in this day and age, you know, all this stuff. They're talking curse. Then use the faith message. What you need to do is get more money. So with that money you get by not having kids, send it to me. You can give me more checks if you don't have kids. You can work more, make more money. Oh, because see, for the gospel, hey, God's interested in money for the family first. You know, I was always with this with God. God bless you in my life. I always told God, you don't take care of my family. I don't do stuff for you. Why? Because that's what a guy, Bible says this, if you don't take care of his family, he's worse than an infidel. Said he's worse than the unbeliever. The infidel is the unbeliever. He's worse than that. Amen. So where do you think God holds it in the place? So we need to get back over, get in there. But anyhow, in Genesis, we're going to go back here and read this. Genesis, the 18th chapter, verse 17 says, this is God. God comes and visits Abraham. Abraham in his tent, and he's going to be heading, the angels, are these two angels, he sent angels down ahead of him, them to go down towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is what here's what the Lord says. He said, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? This is about Abraham dealing with Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I want you to see it. He's going to bring judgment on the earth. He's going to bring judgment on the earth concerning that city. He's going to bring judgment. God said, now listen, this is a wonderful revelation if you get it. It's why God ain't talking to people today. I will tell you why certain things are not being revealed. Right here he goes. He said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely be a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him. Now everybody stops at that. No, here's the reason why he's given it to him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. That the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Amen. He said, you know what I'm telling Abraham? Because he's going to raise his kids right.
Hallelujah.
There's revelation that will never come to people. They will never know. They have no need to know if they're not raising their children right. Amen. See, we don't teach this stuff in the church. See, we have these, how you raise kids and all that, a lot of psychological stuff. Read them and scare the hell out of them.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm talking about it. I'm not talking about be vulgar. People ain't afraid today of what's going on. They're not afraid. Our generation coming, we should be raising them in a manner so God can reveal and bless. He wanted to bless Abraham, but he wanted to bless the next generation. And he did. Do you know, you can walk right and raise your kids right, and if they go wrong, it's amazing what God will do. God turned around and told Solomon. Solomon started off good and ended up to be a big mess. I mean, go read Ecclesiastes. It's like, my God, sometimes it's like listening to a heathen. He's so in the natural. Why? Because he got over, number one, the gold, the glory, and the girls. He blew it on all of them. He ended up following the gold, the glory, and the girls. That's what he did. That's what Kenneth Hagin said. The Lord told him, the three G's that ministers fall for, the gold, the glory, and the girls. You find out ministers either fall by one, two, or three of those. And people out there do too. Aha! So, but Solomon did. Solomon fell. Solomon ended up, we talked about the glorious temple he built for God. But they don't talk about the temples he built for his wives to pagan gods. He did that. Oh, it wasn't wonderful. And they preach about all the money he had. Yeah, he used all that money and gold to turn around and end up selling God out. So you know what happens to him? God told him this. God said to him, he said, you're not going to see the calamity to come. You're going to live out and die. He said, it isn't because of you. He said, because of what I said I would do through David. But he said, your son ain't going to turn out good. And it didn't. His son lost the kingdom quickly and all. Everything fell apart. He was only blessed because his parents, his daddy did right. His daddy walked right. See, I watch it. That's one of the things. See, I preached a little bit at my dad's funeral and I told my brothers and sisters, I said, you have lived blessed lives because of dad. I said, you better make some changes. Because daddy's gone now. Next generation's coming. This is what happens. You walk right. See, we quit and stop this Jesus. I'm just living for Jesus for me. No, I'm living for Jesus for the future, for the people of the future. I'm living for Jesus for my next generation. Amen. And see, I want my offspring to live for their next generation.
Amen.
Quit doing what everybody else, society says is okay and all right and everything else.
Amen.
See, this stuff here list speaks to us. You don't hear messages out of this, Christmas messages like this. All they do is talk about naturally what goes on. But there's a lot of wonderful spiritual principles out of all this thing. Wonderful. Proverbs 10:20 says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. You walk and live in your integrity. No man has ever lived in his integrity and didn't raise his children right. Never did happen. Because you have no integrity if you don't raise your children right. And I'll tell you raise your children right, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to get flack. From you, from your kids and others, you know. Hallelujah. I thank God. It was one thing, I learned, it was because of my dad, blessing came as he's walking right. The Lord told me, said, your dad was righteous before me. Hallelujah. So I owe it to my children and my grandchildren. I owe it to walk righteously before God.
Amen.
For their behalf. I owe it to them. That's what I owe them. Hallelujah. We need to do that. Number one, if we love them, we need to get and walk in that light. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have a woman here who's under a curse. God has chosen them. These two are walking right. These two are living right. God visits them. Really, in a sense, they're not anybody in this. You know, God picks the priest and his wife can't have kids. And God's going to do it. They're old. They're at the place of man, up in age. Well, so what happens is Zechariah said to the angel, back in, we go back over to Luke, the first chapter. Zechariah says to the angel in verse 18, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. I'm an old guy. I'm an old dude and my wife's advanced. In other words, I'm married to an old woman. How do we know that this is going to happen? Well, one of the things that he did there, this is one of the things I've always thought was funny because of what was said that Jesus had spoken about concerning the Jews, that the Jews always saw the sign. He said the Jews were always looking for a sign and the Greeks were always looking for wisdom. You know, the Gentile is always, you know, I see it today. We have an intellectual Christianity today, even among the faith people. They've turned it into an intellectual thing. It used to work really good when we, us simple, didn't know too much. We believe God, wonderful things, but they made it intellectual. Today they bought it in, and you know they're trying to do all. It's not. It just, let's believe Jesus. God's word is true and it's good. It worked like that before. It'll work like that again today. You know, I don't even have to know how all it works. All I have to do, believe it works. I don't have to understand everything about it. Hallelujah. Let's just believe God. It's a working. Hallelujah. So, people want a sign. Well, now, because he opened his mouth, the angel answered and said to him, I'm Gabriel who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, in other words, but, I'm going to give you a sign, dude. You asked for it. Oh, I thought he was going to wave a Harry Potter wand. I knew it. I could tell it. He was going to do some great thing. The sun was going to come up tomorrow backwards. I don't know. Something was going to happen. Yes? So the angel answered and said to him, he said, I'm sent from God and you ain't listening. He said, but behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Do you see this? We see a miraculous manifestation. But you know what? See, here's where people miss it. And see, I understood this from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin told me, people always want to talk to me what things looked like in a vision. He used to say, I don't talk to people about it. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the revelation. See, he needs something. I want to see more. See, we're living in that sea. We're living in Seymour, America. This is the Seymour of the church. We got to see more all the time. We got to see more. We're going to believe if we see more. No, you just believe the word. Because he didn't just believe what was said. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. It didn't come by seeing. He wanted faith by seeing. I might see God do something and hey, he'll do that. But I can't receive it myself only but by faith. I got to believe what the word says to get it. I can't receive it by what I see. I receive it by what the word says. So from his standpoint, so he said to him, now he's doing him a favor. You know, you ain't believing. You need to keep your mouth shut. God did him a favor. Shut his mouth. He'll be saying the wrong thing. Don't let him talk. I know people, boy, that needs to happen. I'm going to start praying for it. Oh, God, they keep talking. They don't tell them what's going to happen to them. Did you ever meet somebody like that? They do something. Hallelujah. So, this is God's move. He says, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. He said, but when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned them and remained speechless. And so it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his house. Now we find this, it says verse 24, that now after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and she hid herself for 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. See, this being barren is a reproach among the people. You're looked on in a certain way. And it's like today, you know, everybody's, you know, people have... I always get a kick out of people. What they want is sympathy for what they're going through rather than an answer about what they're going through. You know, you shouldn't feel bad. People need an answer. No, somebody's doing something wrong. It's got them in trouble. Don't make them feel guilty. Well, if they're guilty of doing wrong and you don't let them know they're guilty of doing wrong. Well, what is, oh, it's okay. It's okay, honey. It'll be all right. Jesus loves you. And when that truck hits you the second time, he still loves you. We don't want anybody to feel bad. You have no need to change if you're not doing anything wrong. And this is what we've left people at today. Here's our society today, even the church world. Don't make anybody feel bad. The seeker-friendly church... Don't ever make the sinner feel like he's guilty of sin. Don't ever make it. My God! No. Nobody is supposed to have a bad feeling. Well, I'm going to tell you, they end up in hell filled with bad feelings. There are people who accepted Christ at one time are going to end up being lost. Because they didn't follow. And they're going to find a lot out about bad feelings for eternity.
Amen. Amen. Preach.
The Bible says to know, and don't walk in the light of it. It says you'd be better off had you not known.
Amen.
Don't come and play the game. This is no game, this Christianity thing.
Amen. Preach.
It is not a game. This is about a life.
Amen.
I decided long before I got born again whether or not I wanted to get into this game, because God didn't come with this sweet thing and come and talk to Ed like he was a nice guy. The Lord, I'll never forget the Lord telling me, I'm not born again. God didn't tell me a sweet story to get me to accept it. He said there's no such thing as a closet Christian. Mm-hmm. That's what the Spirit of God said to me.
Amen.
No such thing as a closet Christian.
Amen.
Only in the church are there closet Christians. That's what they preach. It ain't the doctrine of God.
Mm-hmm.
You're either in or out.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You don't proclaim me before men. I don't proclaim you before the Father.
Amen.
Now, this guy that said that wasn't too significant. It's only Jesus. You know, it wasn't too significant. You know, it no, they preach today. No, well, closet. No, they are closet Christians. Those are people who don't want to let people know about Jesus. You know, I have my hidden life and my fire insurance policy that I got back here and that stuff. And when Jesus comes, I'm going to pull it out and say, see, I accepted you one day back in years ago, and now that, hey, he's going to go, hey, we'll see you. See, I don't believe once saved, always saved. Why? Because the Bible does not preach it. Men do. Jesus never taught it. And the Apostle Paul didn't teach it either. Why would a person need to repent, a Christian need to repent? Why would we ever use 1 John 1:9 if you're all right? If you're all right, just keep living like you are.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Why would we need to repent? What's the point? I'm going to go to heaven anyhow, so I can live like hell. I asked a minister this one time. He was telling me how, you know, once saved, always saved. I said, when you bring a person to Christ, do you tell him that? Well, he said, no. I said, why? You lied to him? I said, don't you sit down and tell them, hey, just accept Jesus. Go live like what you want then, do whatever. Once you're saved, you're always saved. I said, if that's the truth, you should be preaching it. Or I said, you're one of the devil's kids. You're a liar.
Amen. Preach.
You're bringing people under false principle. Tell them the truth. See, we won't speak the truth. They believe that the same guys believe people ought to repent. Why? If I can live on the old way and I get to heaven, let's just live it. Why would I ever give a minister a nickel? Let him get another job. Because we can just live any way we want. We don't need churches. We don't need to sit down and listen to the Word. We don't need these. There's no need. We have so many liars out here in pulpits who are preaching lies to people, taking money as fraudsters. Like they need them. And on the other hand, you don't need me. You just go, you're good. You know, you out here and do what you, yeah, he's going to say, because you accepted Jesus, you know, 47 years ago. I haven't lived on him for, you know, 43 of those years. But it's all going to be all right. See, it's all frauds and lies. It's rise to different generations. You know, I want to be like these folks. I want, you know, God says, you know what? He lived righteous. Says, you know what? So I can do something with his kids because he lived righteous. He brought them up before me.
Amen.
See, we need no more preaching like this in the churches.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Now, I realize this don't, you know, this ain't like, you know, going to a lot of churches, you know, you don't have to eat the cake, just the icing. All you get, just eat icing. Hey, I like icing. But I'm going to tell you what, you better eat the cake.
Amen.
You know, hallelujah. You know, you just take the pancakes and just eat the syrup, let the pancakes sit. You didn't have nutrition-wise, you didn't get much. And that's the church today, no nutrition.
Amen.
Oh, and they get in trouble, and they're trying to get out of it, and they can't get out of it, and things happen, and they can't, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong? Why? It's just like in the world. I mean, you have no nutrition. If that's right, you get so weak, you can't do nothing.
Amen.
That's with people. Remember Kenneth Hagin tells a story. He said, because he saw different people, God showed him in the spirit Christians. He said, some Christians, he said, their spirit is so emaciated and weak, it is just run down,
Amen.
Looks terrible.
Amen.
Not fed.
Amen.
So they get into trouble, and they have to do something by faith. They can't. Their inner man can't rise up. He's too weak. There's nothing in him. Then they're running around trying to get somebody else who has stayed strong. You go do it for me. You go ahead and do it for me. You make it happen. It's not the way it works. Hallelujah. So, I mean, I like these folks. They're walking with God. God can do something for them.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want to tell you, people walk by faith. I will guarantee you that when these people, when they first got married, this woman she's looking for, now they were married as number one. They would have married as virgin. She'd have been a virgin. She wouldn't have slept with 10 other guys, and you didn't do that. So she comes along, and she's looking. When she gets married, it's a big thing. You're going to produce children. You're going to do that. You want offspring. You know one of the reasons why the Muslim religion has spread? They produce kids. So they produce kids after them. And they grow their population. The Christian population is getting smaller, and the Muslim population is growing bigger. You go down to South and Central and South America, the Catholic Church down there. Those people pump out kids like crazy. Follow after this. We're supposed to multiply, and the church is subtracting. Calling it God. That ain't the way it works. It's not the way it works. Hallelujah. Folks, it's good preaching anyhow.
Amen.
Things we need to know. But this woman, can you imagine the time that she's living in? She's got to be old age and still hasn't a kid. They have prayed and asked God. God hasn't forgotten. Now, see, I was that's one of the things that I was teaching on the book of Revelation, because it talks about the prayers of the saints that are on these vials or bowls or whatever. They translate them, some different translations call them different things. But they're sitting on the altar, prayers. See, her prayer's been sitting on the altar. It ain't been forgotten by God. Nobody ever prayed a prayer by faith and it's been forgotten by God. It has never happened. Never happened. Now, you talk about, she's out there standing for, you know, see, we come to the things of the ages just like Abraham. Man, we old folks too. See, we're old. We got to this point. We're old and going to have a kid. And Sarah, when heard the angel say about it, he's going to visit them the same time next year, and she's going to produce a kid, and she laughed. Because, you know, it's like a joke. I mean, I'm an old mama now. I mean, I'm in the days of grandma and ain't got no grandkids. And you're saying I'm going to have a child. Well, see, God spoke here, and God came, you know. It's one thing I like about Elizabeth. He came home and probably had, because we find that he did write down in a tablet, but it turns around when he's born, when John the Baptist born, he goes around and does his little announcement there. He writes it down, but then he got his voice back. But she believed it when he conveyed to her, however, through writing or anything, what this angel said was going to happen. She believed it. Hallelujah. So, old mom, old grandpa and grandma are going to the sack. This wasn't Virgin Mary. They're going to have to act in faith. Gee, at our age doing this? Well, you ain't going to get no kids if you don't. You're staring. I watch people talk about having kids and don't have sex. What are you believing for? You know? Well, that word, that's insanity. Just one of them things it goes with. Hallelujah. But I often think about what they have gone through. She's come to this point. She's an old woman now. But she's lived all these years with this thing hanging on her. She's still walking with God and following God. See, people talk about life, and people today, we're these too much temporary Christians. Every little thing bugs them. And, oh, man, I didn't get this. You know, I prayed, and God didn't do it in 15 minutes. And I didn't have this. I'm still in this. And I prayed. And I've been standing with God for 5 years. Well, get over it. There's people stood a lot longer than you have. And ain't you can get, see, this lady didn't quit. What are you doing when you're an old person and you're still believing to have a baby? You don't even go tell that in a church today. Faith people will run you into the ground. Oh, you shouldn't have a kid at your age, you know. Probably turn around, mine won't be right. Because they'll be in this church. Because our mind ain't right. You know? See, God ain't ever bigger. See, we have taken the miraculous out of the church today. It's been robbed out of the church following all the philosophies of the world and the doctors. What the doctor says will work, that's okay. But if a doctor says it don't work, I'll stay away from it. It's a funny thing about, that's probably been less than a year ago. I read an article. This doctor got in this study because they say women, they get older, having children, having problems, they went there. He went to this study and found it wasn't true at all. He said, this ain't true. He said, they don't have any higher rate of this. We've been told these things. People believe them. Because the doctor says it. He's God. This book is good, and I love this God. Guy, real good, this God in here. But the doctor, now he's a notch above, you know? Why? Because I can see him. And so we talked this stuff. And I was really interested because this guy said, we went in and began to study. And he said, women are older, had children. He said, things were fine generally. You know, they don't have problems. So the problems of the doctors. Saying, shouldn't do it. So we limit our lives, what we want to do. I was thank God for this lady who did not, and husband, who didn't quit believing God so God could bring the forerunner of Jesus Christ into the earth. And he didn't bring it through what was easy. He looked at the ones that were just standing. Thank God for the ones who stood. You know, we're going to talk about, Darlene, you know, mentioned today about Joseph. We're going to talk about those things as we go on in these because there's lessons that we learn about this thing. People have lied about this life of faith. It's sometimes just downright hard. These people went through hard things, trusted God and did it to have some of the most miraculous things. You and I today are redeemed because people walk through hard things of faith. It didn't happen in 1 year, 2 year, 3. They walked in hard places. And we get to stand on the victory side of it, talking about like everything's just supposed to be rosy and, oh yeah, we believe God. If you really believe God, you ain't going to... My God, you got the Messiah, the kid, and you got to leave town. you can't even stay where you're living. You got to leave town. You got to go to another country to get away from the faith people. Do you ever think about that? I think about this stuff. See, my mind's really out there. But I think about it. My God, these are the people supposed to be believing God. If something happens, they're out of town. It's written in the book, but don't expect it to really happen. What's wrong with you people? Oh, we believe in miracles as long as they stay on them pages. But don't jump out at me. If I see one happen, it must be the devil. See, the devil does miracles. We don't know about God. This is good preaching, folks.
Amen. Great preaching.
God's been dealing with me. Amen. We need to get back to the simplicity of this thing. It is true, and this is it. Don't matter what a man says, no matter. It's, hey, you believe the word of God. Hallelujah. God, just like these weren't anybody special, but God did something special.
Amen.
Because why? They didn't change what they believe. They just walked and walked, hallelujah, and God looked down and said, man, they're my kind of people.
Amen.
They're the kind of people I want to bring my plan through. They're the kind of people. These are the ones I want to do something through. Hallelujah. And thank God. Man, when I look at these people, I always thank God. Thank God there was people like this. Thank God that they were willing to stand. And an angel, God sends an angel to them and says, hey, remember that prayer about the kid thing? God's been listening.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to do something miraculous. I'm going to do something that it doesn't happen to other people. You're old and you're going to have a child, and he's going to be great.
Yep.
See, can you imagine with Mary what's coming to happen? Well, you deal with Mary and Joseph and what goes on there. Totally outside the box. Totally outside. People that are nobodies. Nobody knows them. They're not the people are looking for. None of that's happening. They don't have a big name. They don't have none of that. But God did a big thing. There's one thing God wants me to get across today. He'll do the same for people today. If they will turn around and believe, He will do things today. That if I, in my, God can visit me and do things for me. God can do wonderful things through me. Or I can sit down and let the condition of my life and what's going on around me. Hey, it's just like with them. What's going on? Look at the pressure they had going around there, but God visited them. They had pressure. They knew it was to be under a tough time. But look, I'm trusting God, and this is it. I'm going to just stand with God in this thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can you believe the word?
Amen.
You see, we're in a better place than they were. And as we get on there, we're going to begin to see this. I'm going to do some teaching on it because we need to get over things. People, as I did before with the thing with Elijah, we elevate people and we don't elevate God. We're elevating the stories of people and the people in the stories instead of elevating what God had done through His grace to people. And we don't glorify God out of it. We look, oh, this person did this and this person did that. If David hadn't been given the anointing and anointed as king, he'd have never fought Goliath and won. He only did it because he was king and anointed by it by God. If he wasn't anointed, they'd have picked that little blood spot off the ground where the giant would have stomped him. That story is to show us how God works in people, and we turn around and made the guy great. God's great.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All the time.
Look what Saul did with the grace of God on his life. And when he left God, what happened? He just saw. Here's the guy down in there. It literally says in the scriptures his knees were smoting together when the giant was out there. It says his knees were smoting together. In other words, they're boom, 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 boom. Yeah! The king's down there with his army, and he's wanting to get out of town. He said, hey, one of you guys going to go out there and fight him? Hallelujah. See, you walk in line with the Word of God, God will do miraculous things through you.
Hallelujah.
God can visit. See, we want to get a place we walk in life where God can visit us.
Amen.
We can turn that where God can visit us or not, whether He can. And it doesn't matter knowing a whole bunch. It's walking in the light you got.
Amen.
Walk what you know to walk in and just walk in it. I'll guarantee you, if you would take, like, say, with Mary and look here at Elizabeth, these women here, in the thoughts and the people's minds in those days, I mean, these are just women in the Jewish community. You know, they're on the bottom of the totem pole concerning the family thing here, you know. But God visits them.
Hallelujah.
God visits them. Why? You know what? They're walking and living where they're supposed to be. They're doing. They're not out here. They're not in rebellion trying to be something. God visits them. See, we lost a lot of this. One of the greatest things that we lost in America is submission to authority. We've lost it. And in the home, we have no submission. There's nobody in authority. There's nobody. Everybody's doing what they want. And we all have our vote. People don't want to take responsibility today. You know? Lord, the Lord taught me in the beginning. He's going to hold me accountable.
That's right.
I'm accountable.
Amen.
I'm accountable.
Amen.
I'm accountable. Number one, there's a responsibility, you know, that I have to take. You know, every place needs a leader. Today, we don't want any leaders. We want all this crazy stuff of free speech. I can say what I want, do what I want, and all that kind of stuff. Ain't nothing but the devil. We call it constitution. It wasn't like it was in the constitution beginning. People weren't ignoramuses and stupid and saying any darn thing they wanted to. You never had in Congress when people agree. They didn't call each other names and doing the stuff they do today and things. I'm sorry. That's evil and wicked.
Amen. Preach.
They're just promoting stuff. But don't knock them, man. Go online. They're just like the people that voted them in. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their say. I've learned I don't reply. I get things sometimes that people don't like what I do. I don't reply. I ain't getting into discussion over it. Because I'm not going to get into a matter of words on the thing and stop my faith from working. I ain't going to that place. I don't need it. I don't need it. Hallelujah. If God can't exonerate me, then He needs to get a new job.
Amen.
See, we come down to the areas of faith, and these are the places that we need to come over and walk in. Because I'm going to tell you, God wants to use the people, all of them, not just somebody out here, not just somebody who has a big name. He wants to use everybody. He wants to do something wonderful. I mean, we have here with the announcement of the Messiah. When we go through this whole thing with Jesus' birth, it's the nobodies God shines up with.
Amen.
My God, He gets some guys that are called magis. They're over in the areas of their astrologers and sorcerers and blah, 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 blah. God can get a hold of them about the Messiah. Israel's Messiah. Ain't even their Messiah. They're not under the covenant. But can get them. to come down. He goes out to some shepherds in a field. You talk about nobodies? There's the nobodies. They're the shepherds. They're out there at nighttime because they're on the top of the list of jobs. They got night shift watching sheep. That's a great job. But who's in charge? What, David? The youngest in the family. His brothers are all running around. He's a little boy taking care of the sheep. Who does God go to? Man's promotion is not always the best thing you get in your life.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you this. There are people God has called to ministries, and they've hooked themselves up to the wrong people because they wanted to get involved with big names, and they did. And they will never fulfill the ministry God called them to. It would have been something much greater and would have blessed the body of Christ more. What you ever attach yourself to is going to have an influence on you.
Amen. Preach.
Believe me, the politics in the church world, I found this out. You hook up with ministries and you don't agree. You know, rather than going, you ain't going. You gotta play the game along, and sometimes the game ain't good. I've been around with ministry and sometimes the games ain't good. But if you want to go anywhere with them, you've got to play the game. And once they got you in there and they're used to you getting, hey, I'm doing pretty good here and I'm making good money and we're doing this thing and we're moving along and I got to get a bigger voice into things, it gets hard to stop and say, hey, you know, I got to back it out of this thing. It's hard to do. Love of money is the root of all evil. That's why I'm big on the thing of, hey, you always deal with yourself. If your spirituality doesn't rise up above your income, you will follow the income. Things we must watch in ourselves. There's many wonderful ministries that have not produced what God wanted them to do. Because it's easy to follow men. The promotion things, you know, you can get wonderful offers. I was appreciative because growing up as a Christian, Kenneth Hagin told about people who came along and made him offers of things and stuff. It really sounded great. And the Lord told him, you stay away from these people. They want to control your ministry. Oh, they're going to come and do all this for you, give you all this money and do all the... Oh, because we love your ministry. See, but God knows the motives of people. And I've learned this over the years. Definitely all that glistens isn't gold. Definitely. Should I tell you something? I feel sorry. There's many people that got into politics thought this is going to be, we're going to get in, we're going to change this. And they found out, man, I'm going to tell you, I have stepped in it, man. I've been in the field with the cows and I've done stepped in it now. It's all over my shoes. This ain't no easy thing to do now. Whoa. I had my grand ideas till I got in with this bunch. Found out what they were like. Oh, they talked wonderful, but it ain't what they are.
Amen.
I feel bad for this because I'm going to tell you what, it's a hard place to live.
Amen.
It's a hard place to live. You need to pray for those ones. Pray for the ones that are following God. I don't pray just for the ones who say they're following God. I don't pay no attention to that because they'll all talk like, a bunch of them will talk like, oh yeah, you know, we're really religious people. You watch what they do. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, this is good preacher today, anyhow.
Amen.
But we need to understand these things. This is why is God wants you to get over the walk in your simplicity of faith. God can reach you and do just like with these people. Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
And you know what? Jesus wants to do things. And there's some things he wants to do differently. And he wants to move into areas and people don't want to go there because we have our thing and it's working for us. We have certain things going and we want to do that. We're just going to keep doing these and we're doing what we did 25 years ago and that kind of stuff. That's fine. What's God saying now? What's he telling us now? Who's God raising up? God's going to, just like here, God's raising up people. He was raising up people here to do, follow his plans and follow, he's raising up people. You know, you take Jesus. You look at his disciples, 12 guys. I mean, they ain't the ones people to pick. You want to pick those guys. God picked them. Jesus said, the Father gave them to me. You know, if you got a crowd like that, say, Dad, why did you give me these guys? Not, well, these are the ones the Father gave me. It's like, God, why did you give me this? Dear Lord, I thought you had to pick a better bunch than this. Believe me, Jesus had a walk with faith. I mean, he gets these guys, he's following them, he's teaching them all this stuff, you know, things, and then he gets to that, and they get in an argument, who's going to be sitting beside him at his throne? Have they been listening to teaching at all? Have they been paying attention? Say, no. See, I learned as a minister, it's the same way today. And I go the thing too and say, well, what can we say about them? He picked me. I don't get it. Hallelujah. God called you. And you've been called. Jesus said, no one comes to the Son except the Father draw them. God drew you. God drew you. Did he miss it? God don't miss it. He drew you. He drew you with a purpose. It ain't about just getting to heaven. God wants to manifest through you. God wants to do things through you. God wants to show up for you. See, we got to get over into that fact and start to see this. It is, well, if we could just get this ministry to do this, or we could get this ministry, or we could get this to that. See, man, no, God can show up and do something miraculous through you. God will visit you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. God's good.
All the time.
He changes not. Just like in these instances. Jesus is coming back, and I'm just going to tell you this. God is going to raise people up. God was giving me this stuff. Anyhow, I didn't get to go out to Branson because we were going on vacation and stuff. I didn't want to be gone too many weeks. And so I didn't go to Branson, but I went and bought the messages and that stuff that he had from the stars. But one thing that Randy Greer said, I'm looking through this stuff and I'm going through, and here I listen to Randy Greer, and he gets up and he's speaking by the Spirit of God and the prophet's ministry. He's talking by the Spirit of God, and the Lord's staying in these last days. And he said, the Lord said this. And I thought, from what God's been showing me, he said, I'm going to turn things upside down today. He said, the people at the top are going to be on the bottom, and the people on the bottom are going to be on the top. What does that mean? What does that mean? People on the bottom. See, we need to understand. If you follow church history and you follow how revivals and stuff go, there's people that come out were insignificant and stuff, ended up rising to the top of things. People thought they were at the top of everything, weren't at the top of nothing. Became a hard thing for a lot of people. During the charismatic renewal, that became a hard thing for a lot of people. Because the major ministries at that time weren't the major ministries. God raised up a bunch of ministries through those things. You see, we need to understand we're in a place. Say, man, I've been in this place for so long. See, it's one of the things that the Lord spoke to me when concerning the kingdom. He said to me, he said, I called you. He said, your ministry's for the last days. And he said, I've called many in these last days. He said, they'll see me and see everybody. They're going nowhere, doing nothing. And he said, right before I come, he said, I'm going to bring them out.
Hallelujah.
God's going to bring people out. We're going to have something we haven't seen much in the church today. People with anointings.
Amen.
People with anointings instead of talks. Mm-hmm. People that are anointed by God. And you know what? It's going to be people who I didn't see. They just loved God, walked with God, did what walked right, were righteous before God. And God came and visited them. And God came and anointed them.
Praise God.
See, I've learned this all the time. The thing to do, I got to walk with God, right God, where I'm at, do whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
People are always trying to get promoted. Let God promote.
Amen. Preach.
God knows where you're at. He might know how long you've been whatever, believing. He might know how long you've been standing. And you're thinking, man, he forgot me. No, he didn't. Your prayers are still on the altar. They're still in his sight and he sees them. Hallelujah. And you know what? You're going to find this. One day he's going to take a coal off the altar and stick it in that vial with your prayer, and he's going to chuck it into the earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And your dream's going to come to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What your vision was, it'll come to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's our God.
Mm-hmm.
That's our God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No one's special. We're all special. We all, A prayer prayed by faith, it's on the altar before God right now.
Amen.
You might look at your offspring sometime. He'll lay people right, do whatever you want, if things turned around. You think God quit hearing you?
Nope.
God has concern. Hey, they're on the altar.
Amen.
I'll tell you what.
Amen.
You know, it's like when the Lord told me and spoke to me and said He was going to bring all my brothers and sisters in. You know, from a natural standpoint, I thought, man, that, you know, because you go over in time. And after a while, thinking, you know, maybe I had too much pizza that night or something, and I thought I heard a voice. You know, maybe I said, you know, because, see, you get older because time goes by. And things want to happen to make it seem like, I mean, my older sister, she wasn't getting any closer to God when she went into the hospital to die. She wasn't getting any closer to God. She wasn't going nowhere. But, you know, I had made a decision. And that decision was, as the fact is, God said that. He has to bring it to pass or He's a liar.
Amen.
And I told him, my brother called and said, you pray. He said, our sister Helen, she's in the hospital. She's dying. He said, we need to pray. You know, she's not saved. We need to pray. And I said, I ain't praying. He gets quiet on the other end of the phone. See, when you, you know, I'll tell you what, when you walk with God, you don't talk like everybody else does around, just to keep Him happy.
Amen.
I said, God told me He was going to. I said, God told me He was going to bring all my brothers and sisters in. And I said, Helen cannot leave this earth till she gets born again. I said, if she does, Jesus Christ is a liar, and I won't serve Him anymore. It can't happen. He ain't a liar. I might turn out to be a liar, but He never will.
Amen. Preach.
And God sent a Korean lady. Sent a Korean lady to go to the hospital and see her, and led her to Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And she's with Jesus today. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Why, God's good.
All the time.
He's good. He's good. He's faithful. Hallelujah. See, all my brothers and sisters are going to be in heaven. They're going to be there. And you know what the Lord told me? See, this is this principle of walking right. He said this to me the night He spoke to him. He said, because you followed Me and walked through. See, at that time, Wanda and I walked through a lot of persecution because of our Christian walk. Mm-hmm. From a lot of Christians, we were persecuted by the world.
No.
Persecuted by Christians. They don't like, you know, this belief in God. And, you know, well, they don't like this stuff. And they're getting a hard time. Why, things go wrong with them. And they blame, oh, God has it for a purpose. You know, God's messing up my life for a purpose. He's trying to do it. No, it's the devil. We stood and followed God, and we went through this thing. You know what? I didn't change from following God. No, I knew what God called me to do, and I'm going to stay with it. And people gave us a hard time. We got a hard time, you know. You're blamed for the reason, you know, it rained today. You're just, you know, you know, life would be a whole lot better if you weren't here. And I'll never forget this. It was in July. I was going to go out to Tulsa to attend camp meeting. Can I take a camp meeting? And the Lord was, and I said the whole thing. See, God had spoken to me about anointing. I was going to go out there and get an anointing. He said, you go out there, you're going to get an anointing when you get out there. And I thought, well, that's all He said. I mean, I knew nothing about it, what I was getting. I didn't know. He just said, you go out there, you're going to get an anointing. And so I'm just, you know, trying to stay in line with that. Number one, I'm trying to keep myself spiritually over in the area where I can receive something. You know, because you get over there and think, you know, God tells you this stuff. And you can't just run around and tell people, you know, because people think you're nutty on a fruitcake and they already think you're nutty on a fruitcake. So you don't need to add to it, you know. And so I had a guy come walking up to me and he handed me, he said, here, God told me to get you this series of teachings. And here was a series a guy did. It was about the anointing of God on your life. It was a guy, you know, years ago, he's passed on to be a Jesus, but had a lot of good teaching. There was four tapes on that thing on the anointing. And I thought, my God, God's talking to me about the anointing, you know. So I get over there and listen. I listen to those and things. But I was praying and it was nighttime. It was probably, you know, probably 11, 12 o'clock or something. And I was in the living room and Wanda and the kids are upstairs in bed, and I'm praying because I'm going to be leaving in a few weeks to go out to Tulsa. And God says, so in other words, I want to know, you know, I don't want to miss this thing, whatever God wants to do. Because sometimes when God wants to do something, it's just not out of the ordinary, it's done. But I was there praying, and just out of the clear, I wasn't praying about my families or nothing, nobody. Just out of the clear, the Lord said to me, He said, because you've walked with me and done what I've told you to do, I'm going to bring all your brothers and sisters into the kingdom. I had a visitation, man. Now, I got to say, what sign are you going to give me that this is going to take? No, you just believe the word. See, all the clear. This is why you want to live right. Amen. This is why you want. God will do things because you walk right. Just like in here. Somebody walks right. We're blessed today because ones before us walked right. They did what was right. And that's what you and I want to do. We want to walk and live right for the same reasons. Hallelujah. See, and everything don't always make sense. That's why I tell you, the faith life isn't necessarily easy. You know, because I turn around, and so, you know, God tells me this wonderful, nice thing, and so I'm going to obey Him. I'm going to get an anointing now. And so I go out to camp meeting, and nothing happens. I'm out there, and nothing's going on. It happens. It ends up to the last, it's the afternoon, this afternoon meeting, and after that, it was the last one in the afternoon, and then it was the night meeting, go home, and we're sitting in the afternoon, and here it is. Nothing's happened concerning this anointing. And so Kenneth Hagin comes out and he starts ministering and he's ministering to ministers and he's calling ministers up and he's ministering to these ministers out here and all that stuff. And they go through the whole thing and Brother Hagin is standing up front and all of a sudden Brother Hagin gets over and he's talking in tongues. And I've had this happen to me. You get over in the spirit talking in tongues and you can't come back over to English. You can think in English, but you can't say it. You think you're talking in English, but you're talking in tongues because you're thinking about what you're talking, and I've had this happen. Well, he would do this at times. I saw him do it a number of times. He'd get over talk. He couldn't talk English. And he'd stand in front of the people and say something would come out in tongues. So he's saying something. But I'm sitting back here, and I'm just saying, I said, God, Brother Hagin is calling these ministers up here. And I said, he didn't call me up. And I said, you told me. See, this is the way I am with God. You know, people play too much religious junk. God ain't religious.
Amen.
He's spiritual. It ain't religious, like people think of religion. I said to him, Lord, you told me to come out here, and the whole thing was about getting this anointing. And I said, here I am. I said, you ain't got much time to do something here. I said, Lord, I obeyed you. I've done what you said to do. And I said, you made a good promise to me and everything. But I said, you said to come out here. And I said, I came here for that anointing. And I said, ain't happening, and it better happen. And this is what I told the Lord. Sitting there, I'm maybe about 25 rows back in from the down below, sitting there, and I just said, Lord, if I leave this place and I don't get that anointing, I said, don't ask me to come again. I won't. I said, very simple. I've heard people do this already. God told me such and such. They went to it, didn't work. Well, he had a reason for it. No, he lied if he told you it was going to happen and didn't. And I just told them, I'm sitting there. See, people, you can't talk to God like that. Well, if you don't learn to talk to God in that manner, you'll end up with nothing most of the time.
Amen.
Number one, I remind him. See, you remind him. Mm-hmm. It's like, isn't he forgot it? He wants to know how much you want it, if you're really into this thing or not.
Amen.
Are you into it? Or are you just playing games?
Yep.
And I said, I came here for this anointing. And I said, if I leave without the anointing, ain't no point listening to you anymore. Ain't no point to this thing. See, I don't believe in that thing. Oh, he does it, then he didn't do it. There was a purpose in it. Well, then he lied. I wouldn't got anointing there. That makes him a liar. Well, God ain't a liar. So I told him. And I no sooner got those words to God, Fred Price stood up and said, here he gives the interpretation of what Brother Hagin's saying. He said, Brother Hagin said, if you want to receive that as anointing, it's on him tonight. Just go ahead. You can receive it right now where you sit. And that anointing dropped. Boom! Right on me. Hallelujah! So you can count on God. God's right.
Amen.
You go after God. God will visit you. This isn't for Ed Gibson. This is for the church. This is for every believer here. This is not something that just happens to Ed over here in the corner. And this is comes this thing. Because he's special. I'm special Ed. That's who I am. I'm special Ed. That's as far as it goes. God did not choose me because of wise. You can tell by the way I talk sometimes. My grammar's not good. I say weird things, you know. Hallelujah. Why? I'm part of the unlearned in that area. Hallelujah. But there's one thing. I'm going to follow God.
Amen. Amen.
And I refuse to believe that God will not specially speak to me. I refuse to believe that God will not do that. I refuse to believe or think in that manner. You follow God and God will visit you. You walk with God and God will visit you. You're not different than anybody else. We've let too much of this go to other people. And then when they fall, we become discouraged. Why? I don't get discouraged when anybody falls.
Amen.
I got God. Amen. Jesus, you know, Brother Hagin died and a bunch of the Rhema people thought God died. They didn't know. I'm sorry. Brother Hagin died. I said, well, man, one, you got to come sometime. You're going to croak if Jesus don't come back. I mean, I am. He comes along. Hey, he just went by. What? I got God in me. God didn't leave and ain't changed.
Amen.
The anointing's the same. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same move of God. The Word doesn't change. But people are so attached to people, but they throw this God stuff in there. But that's not what they're believing.
Amen.
Their faith is in people.
Amen.
You today, you have the Holy Spirit in you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You got God in you. Woo-hoo! My God, that ought to put a dance in your feet.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And He knows you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. He hasn't forgotten. He ain't forgotten about your prayers. He hasn't forgotten about the things you asked for. You may have been standing a long time. He don't forget.
Amen.
It's just like Elizabeth. He waited for a bigger miracle to make it a greater thing. She wanted a little miracle. He said, I want to give you a big one. When people say it can't happen, I want to give you one that says, yes, you can.
Amen.
And you ain't going to just have the ordinary kid. You're going to have the kid. Hallelujah. We're going to give you a kid. He's going to change the world.
Amen.
He's going to have a revelation that all men need. Hallelujah. Why not you?
Amen.
See, sometimes you can think, man, God, where are you? He hasn't forgotten. I just want to let you know today, He hasn't forgotten. He knows.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank You. Lord God, hallelujah. You're so gracious to Your people. You love Your people so much. Lord God, hallelujah. There's nobody on the bottom. Lord, I just know this within my inside. Man, You have such great things planned for people. Hallelujah. And Lord God, oh, yeah, Lord, I understand that sometimes walking by faith, we only have little bits and pieces and they don't seem so glorious. But if we'll just keep following those little places of faith. Oh, there's an explosion coming. I'm going to tell you, there's an explosion coming to the people of God. Not to the people of the top, the people of God. The people who have walked before Him, the people who have walked righteous, God is going to put His hand upon them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God is going to raise up people. And men are going to know it. It's God doing the raising. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there's the thing, when these people are raised up, people are going to know it's God and they're going to glorify God. Oh, these last days, Jesus is going to be magnified. Jesus is going to be glorified. Jesus is going to be worshipped. He's going to be seen as the head of the church, the glorious church, hallelujah, with our Master and Savior Jesus Christ on the forefront of all.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we're going to take our crowns and throw them at Your feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because there is none like You. Lord God, it's Your grace has made us what we are, not us. It's Your great working of what You did. Lord God, Lord, there's no way I can declare a claim in my life. Lord, because none of this I've ever done or tried to do, I could have never done. Lord God, it's only been by grace. Lord God, it's only by Your grace I see and receive revelation of the Word. It amazes me. Lord God, it amazes me that the things that You give me and show me. I'm stunned, Lord God, because I know this. I'm not that bright. Hallelujah. Oh, but Your grace is great. Your grace is phenomenal. Hallelujah. And it's the same toward all. Not toward one. Not toward all. Great grace. Oh, it's like in the Scripture said, Paul wrote and said, and great grace was upon him. Hallelujah. Great grace. Great grace is on you. Hallelujah. You know what? There is no other kind of grace than great grace. There's only great grace. And it's God's grace is on you. How wonderful it is. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to say now, thank you for the grace that's on them today. Thank you for your grace, your good favor that's on them. Hallelujah. They're favored, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. They're your children. You brought them out. They're yours. And you graced them with your glory, your abilities upon them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just as it said, all things are possible to him that believes. All things. Hallelujah. Glory. And your grace can bring all things into possibility in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Things are getting turned up. Things are getting turned up in the Spirit. Things are getting turned up in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Greater things. Greater things. Hallelujah. In the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get off that side. Get off that side of looking, oh, well, I'm just here. This is just my place. This is just... No, get over on that side. Hallelujah. Expecting great things. Expecting wonderful things. Expecting glorious things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I expect God to use you mightily. I expect it. Hallelujah. I expect wonderful things. I expect glorious things. Hallelujah. Lord, we don't want to limit you in any way. We want to hold it back in any way, Lord God. Lord, we want to walk, out in this place, Lord God, that your grace is greater than anything that could ever happen or come. Hallelujah. That you could do more wonderful and glorious things. Father, in an instant, you could turn things in this nation just upside down. Hallelujah. Your grace upon your people, Lord God, turning things upside down. Lord God, I just want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God. Lord, I know this. There is a really glorious church stepping up. A glorious church. A people who are yours. Of ones when you look down and they're walking righteous before you. They're a people of faith. They're a faith. They have confidence in you. It isn't in themselves or what they're able to do. But they, Lord God, they just love you and they trust you. They're confident towards you. Hallelujah. They're just resting in you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, I believe there's just hearts, Lord God, out there of your people. They would just do anything you wanted, anything you told them. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God, you see them. You see that situation there is. You see what it looks like. Lord God, and you look at that situation and you laugh. Hallelujah, because you're greater than that situation. That situation the devil has thrown up in your faith is a nothing. It's a nothing before God because His grace is far greater than any devil has ever done or thought he could do or thought he could accomplish. You don't belong to the devil. You belong to God. You're His. His hand's on you. Hallelujah. 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 Set your eyes upon Jesus. Hallelujah. Set your eyes upon Jesus. Ha ha. Look upward. Hallelujah. Oh, there's all kind of things to look around at. Oh, and they seem bad. There's voices that are saying all kind of things. Hallelujah. But God has spoken to you through His Word. God has said what His opinion is of you. God has spoken and said, hallelujah. And His grace and His ability is able to bring to pass and make you everything His Word said it would. Hallelujah. He will accomplish in you and do in you far exceeding abundantly above what you imagine or think according to the power that works in you. Hallelujah. So keep yourself overlooking. Look at His grace. Hallelujah. He hasn't forgotten. He sees. Hallelujah. He's never blind. There's no darkness that can keep Him from seeing. Hallelujah. He's the light of the world. Hallelujah. And His light is shining on you today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Light has come. Light has come. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, my. Oh, my. Just inside of me, it's like something's going to blow up. Something's going to blow up. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, people have been looking at how dark it's going to get. There's going to be an explosion. There's going to be an explosion. Hallelujah. Light's coming forth in the church. In the church. God's people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just thank you so much today for your love for your people. Hallelujah. I just thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Father God. It's wonderful to see how you look on your people. It's wonderful, Lord God, to see of your great love and your mercy. But your great grace that's upon them. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for strengthening them today. Thank you for strengthening them with might by your Spirit in their inner man. that Christ dwells in their hearts by faith. They're rooted and grounded in love and able to comprehend with all the saints what's the height, depth, length, and breadth of the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. That they're filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto you, Lord God, is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. Oh, Lord God, our prayers are up there, what we ask in thought, and you're going to do greater. You're going to do greater than we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Hallelujah. Unto you be glory and praise in the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I was encouraged today. I'm glad I came for the message. Hallelujah. I'm glad I came. I'll tell you what, I needed to hear things. There's a lot of things I spoke this morning. It was by the spirit of prophecy. It wasn't me preaching. It was stuff just coming up out of me. Hallelujah. I didn't sleep much last night. Did a lot of praying last night. Just went to bed and couldn't. It was praying before I went to bed. Went to bed and couldn't sleep. So, yeah, you just pray and pray. I just urge. But, you know, you don't always know what you're praying for. You just have this thing and you pray in tongues. You know, it's nice when you pray some things and you're understanding. Sometimes just praying in tongues, you're wondering the whole time, I wonder what's going to happen. Hallelujah. Well, I came today and found out what happened. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God has plans for His people. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have a glorious week, and if you don't, it's your own fault.